Thing. Welcome to First DC. Glad to see you're all here ready to worship this morning. Welcome to those who are on Zoom. Just want to thank, first of all, and maybe I'll have to do it again next week. It looks like I was going to thank all those who were involved with VBS. Anybody who's here who was involved with VBS, thank you very much. It looks like maybe there's quite a few who took the opportunity to go on vacation and to get a break, but I'll make sure to thank them as well. We had a great time. I think it was very successful. We had 11 kids. Four of those were not from this church, so I think that's a nice percentage. 11 was a nice, manageable number, so everyone got through it without feeling stressful and anxious. And so I hope that next year when we talk about it again, everybody will remember having a great time, and we'll try it again next year. Want to also make note of no evening coffee shop theology this coming Wednesday. Morning, yes, but not in the evening. That's because I'll be preaching over at Londonderry Village. I get the opportunity to preach to them. I would invite any of you who want to come, especially those who normally come to coffee shop theology. If you are going to come and attend, I'm going to invite you to wear your team colors. That's going to be my sermon for them. So if you want to wear colors for your favorite baseball team, football team, whatever your favorite team might be, wear those colors and you'll fit right in then with the sermon. Just want to make note of the fundraiser, the Apple Dumpling fundraiser, and also you'll see in the hurdles to housing fundraiser. I haven't had a chance to go out and see how we're doing with our goal, but again, if you can go out either directly to the LCCM website and click on a picture of our, click on the fundraiser, then click on a picture of our church where you have the opportunity to give. We also have a link on our new website that will take you over there as well. Our softball team did well. They got through the consolation round and ended up playing against the team that went undefeated. They were close. They got down, fought back, lost 8-6, but they ended up the season in second place through the championship. So, yeah, they did well. And then just wanted to make note, too, the memorial service for Dawn. Again, it's the visitation's 10 to 11. Service will start at 11, and then there will be a reception immediately following over in the reception hall. All of that will take place here this Saturday. Anything else that we need to know for our schedule? Anything that the family needs to know? Okay, I feel like we're kind of getting back to our normal services now. I know that we've had quite a bit of stuff going on. Yes, Judy. Oh, this afternoon, yeah, Rob Valentine's ordination service at 4 o'clock at Akron at his church. So I'm sure that we'll see quite a few of each other this afternoon down there. And I know that normally, I won't promise, I don't know if the invitation says, but normally after the ordination service, there's some type of refreshments. So, yep, thank you. Yeah, we want to remember that he's getting ordained this afternoon. Joining the fraternity of itinerant ordained elders. So, okay, anything else? Then I invite you to pray with me and let's prepare ourselves for worship. Good morning, Father. We gather here this morning because we love you, because we want to take a moment to rest in your presence. We want to open up our hearts to you, send out the things that are in our hearts that we want you to know, and we want to open our hearts to hear all the things that you want us to know. We're here because you are worthy of our time, you are worthy of our praise, because you give us that time, you give us the hearts for praise. We thank you for all the blessings that you have provided this week. We thank you that you are who you are, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 89. The heavens praise your wonders, Lord, your faithfulness too, in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies above can compare with the Lord? Who is like the Lord among the heavenly beings? In the council of the holy ones, God is greatly feared. He is more awesome than all who surround him. Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. So he's worthy of our praise. Let's all stand, if you're able, and join in singing our praises.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. All of you could make it. Not too many of us made it up here either, so.
Got the Jeff Gordon Trio up here again, back by popular demand.
We'll make do.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good, all your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone.
Trust in you alone.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Oh, yeah. I will follow you. Yeah. Light unto the world, light unto my life. I will live for you alone. You're the one I see, knowing I will find all I need in you alone.
In you alone.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy unending. Stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Whom you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. Life I lose, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you.
Righteousness,
humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord. And poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Yeah. Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God. Of the world, Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel,
the light of the world,
the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah.
Would you take a moment just to greet your neighbor, please?
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see you two again. How you doing? You're back up. Had you gone home? Okay. Good to see you. Okay. Well, let's take a moment then now to lift up any praises. I mean, I'll be the first, and I already told you about the VBS, how well it seemed to go. We had 11 children, as I said. We had good amount of help, and it looked like everybody went home with smiles on their faces, like I said. So the other thing that we don't know her, but I just want to lift up a praise for the woman who made all of the props. I mean, the majority of the props came from a church in Hershey. There were a lot more that came from another church that we knew about. We didn't have to make a single prop. All that stuff that you saw up here was given to us, and it was gone on Friday because we had someone else that wanted it, so we were able to pass it forward, and we didn't have to find a place to store it, and somebody else is going to get good use out of it as well. So it just was overall a wonderful VBS experience this year. So thank you again to all of you who had any part, whether you gave something for snacks, whether you actually were here and helped, and whatever. Just there were so many, and if you were home praying for us. So thank you very much for a wonderful VBS experience. Any other praises? Any prayer requests?
Well,
yes.
I have a praise.
Okay. Hang on 1 second. We'll get a microphone so that even the people on Zoom can hear you then. Okay.
Knows I work at a hospital, and I just want to praise about everybody that has COVID, and they all got better, and they all went home. Even a 98-year-old woman had it really bad.
Wow.
And she was on a ventilator and everything, and she made it home. So good. That's a great thing. Yes.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Any others? Yes, back here.
I have a praise also. Mike came home yesterday from the hospital.
Okay.
And
great.
Yes. And the other thing, a prayer request is for Brenda. She started her radiation this Tuesday. Thank you.
Brenda. To piggyback on that, Jenny just said to keep praying, please, that they're day to day at a time, take them one day at a time. But yeah, she was happy that Mike was able to come home.
Okay. And as I'm looking down here, I did also have a praise, a thank you from Bob Kaur. He thanked everyone who sent birthday cards. He got a lot of cards for his birthday, and he thanks you for all of those. Any others? Yep, one back there.
Pray for my glasses to be found today.
Oh. Okay.
We could keep the people in Hawaii in our prayers.
I just asked if everybody can pray for my mother. She's having like really bad shoulder issues, and she had a CAT scan and everything done. They're still waiting for the results. So just keep my mother in your prayers, please. Thank you.
Okay.
Sharon and I have a friend named Charlene. She's going on a missions trip to West Virginia and rebuilding bridges. Last year, the cement truck could not get to the remote area, and they had to do it by hand with the cement. And we told her we'd be praying this year, so we asked the congregation to pray that the cement truck can make it, and they won't have to do it by hand this year.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Our boys are currently on a canoeing camping trip, and they were on an island in the middle of the Susquehanna last night when those storms came through. So just praise, we got a text this morning that everybody's okay, and they're ready to get back on the water, and they should be home this afternoon. So.
Okay. Was that with the scouts?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Let's pray. Father, first of all, we want to thank you just for giving us this new day. We need to remember that every day, every second is a gift from you. And we thank you for for taking care of us in that way and providing us the opportunity to enjoy each day. And we ask you to consider these people that have been listed who may not be enjoying the day as much as they could. We thank you that that Mike is back from the hospital, but we continue to pray for Ginny and Mike and little Mike as they are dealing with just with Mike's recovery. And we just pray that you'll watch over them and walk with them, and they will walk with you through this whole process. We ask you to consider Hawaii and all the disasters that they're going through, and that there will be recovery efforts that will go smoothly and productively. We thank you that radiation is ready for Brenda, and we just pray that those radiation treatments will go well, that you already have doctors ready to go, ready to help her. And we just pray for healing in that case. We thank you for milestones. We thank you for birthdays. And we thank you that Bob Corr was able to enjoy all of the cards that were sent his way. We pray for Shayna's mom, and that you will help the doctors to be able to identify what is causing the shoulder pain. We ask for your healing touch, that you will help to restore her shoulder and to remove that pain. And we pray for this group and for Charlene and this group in West Virginia. We know that anything is possible for you. So we just pray that you'll take away all of the things that keep this cement truck from being able to get to where it needs to be. We thank you for the strength of those who were there last year and had to do it by hand. But we pray, Lord, that you will make the path clear, strong, sturdy, whatever needs to be done so that that cement truck can get to where it needs to get. And we thank you for the way you watch over us. We thank you for protecting the McKelveys and all the scouts last night on this island out in the middle of the river. I imagine, even though they're scouts and even though they're learning how to survive, I imagine there was some anxiety and a little bit of fear with something that rough that was being thrown at them. But we know that all these storms that come to us in life, no matter how bad, they have passed by you and have been given your permission. And so we thank you for watching over us and protecting us. We thank you for the way you provide for us and give us income during the week. And we thank you by giving you back a portion. We worship you by giving a portion of our income as our offering. And we just ask you to bless it and to use it to further your kingdom and your church. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And would you join me in continuing to sing our praises by joining in hymn number 58.
Thank you.
before I start the sermon, I just wanted to share with you, I'm kind of going off script here, but it goes along with what we're going to be talking about, and how I just want to share with you, nothing is a coincidence. I don't know how long this Bible has been sitting here, and you know, we don't use it much, and maybe you think it's just a fixture, it's just sitting there. But whoever sat it here, laid it here, at some point, just probably opened it up, laid it there to the middle. It opened up to Psalms, as you would expect. But it just so happened that it opened up to the Bible verse that we used during VBS. It was their theme, Psalm 25, verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. It was laying here, I noticed it, and so I had the children read one by one each night, a different reader. By Thursday, they didn't need to read, they had it memorized. But I just want you to know there's no coincidences. God had this sitting here. I don't know how long, like I said, it's been at this exact page for weeks, months, I don't know. But sure enough, it was open just to the verse that we needed this past week for the Bible study, for VBS. And of course, they all learned in that VBS through the curriculum that the idea is that if we follow God, he knows what he's doing, and he'll take us where he wants us to go. That is very relevant to our sermon this morning as we continue our series on famous jerks of the Bible. Today's jerk had a clear direction that he was given by God. There was no doubt about what God wanted him to do, but he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. And he didn't do it at first. And even when he did end up doing it, he didn't want to be doing it. So, you probably know by now, and it's probably up there, Jonah. We're going to be talking about Jonah today. And what I don't understand is how this guy, who is so disobedient, gets a book named after him in our Bibles. I just think there's something very fishy about this guy and his story. Ha, ha, ha. Man, if I had a shekel for every time somebody made a fish joke about me, I could buy my own boat. And I could sail wherever I wanted instead of where the missions board sends me. Now, I don't want to offend the missions committee. I love missions as much as the next guy. I go to missions conferences. I invite missionaries to my home. I even sat through some of them, their missionary slideshows and lectures. And I love to support the missions committee by buying their subs and their apple dumplings. But I don't just have a stomach for missions. I want you to know I have a heart for missions too. In fact, when I was young, I signed a commitment card at one of them their rallies for the youth. That card said anything, anytime, anywhere. And that got me into a little short-term mission project. Yeah, God sent me to tell King Jeroboam II to restore the boundaries of Israel. Well, the king complied, and the trip was a success. And I came back to the synagogue, and I gave everybody one of my own slide presentations. Well, that was that. I figured I had done my part. Well, then one day I heard a voice calling my name, Jonah. I was a little startled at first, but then I realized it was God, so I kind of relaxed a little. Because you see, I had taken my short-term missions trip, and that's a lot more than most people can say. So I was sure that God wasn't going to expect any more traveling from me. Well, he called me again, Jonah. So I paid attention. He said, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because the wickedness has come up before me. And I thought, Nineveh? Wait a minute. My head started spinning, my stomach was churning, and my muscles were tensing up. Because Nineveh and wickedness, that much I could understand. But I thought the Lord was being a little too generous by having somebody go and preach to them. The Ninevites, they're our enemies. They're a constant threat. They're treacherous. They're despicable. They're pure evil. Now, the good news is that God's finally noticed, and they're getting what they deserved. But the bad news, in my humble opinion, was that he was warning them. I had trouble with them two words that he was asking from me, go and preach. You see, he wanted me to go and preach to them. That's what he said. He wasn't asking either. He was telling. Now, this was quite a mission. It was the opportunity of a lifetime. Yeah, so I ran away. I hurried to Joppa, and I caught the first boat to a city called Tarshish. You see, Nineveh was to the east. Tarshish was to the west. I figured God needed a little more time to rethink this missionary project that he was proposing. And if we couldn't come to an agreement, well, my answer was going to be very clear. I would take any assignment except this one. I was determined that I would never go to Nineveh. Sound familiar? So I left for an extended vacation. I didn't leave any forwarding address, no phone number where I could be reached. I was taking a little me time. I did not want to be disturbed by any voices or visions or angelic visits. I got on that boat and I was really enjoying my cruise. It was a long needed vacation. And I went down below deck for a little power nap. And with the rhythm of the waves and the rocking of the boat, boy, I was out like a light, sleeping like a log. In fact, the storm whipped up and I didn't even know it. And it was a bad one, too. The wind was so strong and the waves were so high that the sailors were sure that the boat was going to sink. They screamed, they cried, they each called out to their own god. They called every god they knew, but none of them answered. So they started throwing cargo overboard to try and lighten the ship. And you know, I didn't hear any of this. I was down below, riding the storm out, just sleeping like a baby. It wasn't until the captain came down and woke me up that I even knew there was a problem. So, you see, he realized that their gods weren't answering them. So he begged me to call out to my God to try and get some help. Now, hold on one cotton-picking minute. First of all, there was nothing about drowning listed on the cruise itinerary. And second, I'm doing my best to hide from God right now. I don't want to do anything that might attract his attention. But as it became obvious that this boat was sinking, I also started to have another sinking feeling. What if the Lord God, who is the creator of the wind and the waves, was trying to get my attention? Well, then the sailors, they came up with a plan. They decided to cast lots to find out who's responsible for this mess. Well, it didn't take them too many tries for them to figure out what I'd been feeling all along. This had to be all because of me. The lots pointed in my direction, and their questions just started flying. What God is responsible for all this trouble? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? I said, hold on, one question at a time, boys. Said, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the God who holds this sea like a little drop in the palm of his hand. But right now, I am not worshiping him. In fact, I'm not really obeying him right now either. Let's just say I kind of zigged when he told me to zag. Well, it turns out the sailors were smarter than I was because this terrified them. They didn't even know my God, but they still took him seriously. They looked at me and they said, what have you done? They cried out above the roar of the storm. What can we do to make the sea calm down for us? Well, I said, you could just throw me over. This is all my fault. But they were too nice to do that, so they just started rowing harder. Now, that was very gracious of them, but it didn't work. So they had no choice but to listen to me. They begged for God's mercy and tossed me over the side. I think they were half expecting to be hit by a lightning bolt or something. But as soon as I hit the water, the waves stopped. The wind got calm. Everything just went away. When what was left of their boat just sailed away calmly with the sailors on them, and I think I heard them having a worship service. Well, there I was, just bobbing up and down, all alone in the middle of the ocean. I looked around, but I couldn't see any shoreline, so I had no idea which direction to swim. I just knew I was a goner, nothing more than fish food, and that's exactly what I turned out to be. Because all of a sudden, this huge mouth comes up out of the water and just swallows me up. And I was like body surfing into the belly of some enormous fish. I landed in one of the darkest and loneliest places I have ever been. And mister, you don't know stinky until you spent 3 days in a fish's digestive system. Well, there was no getting away this time. God had me cornered. I was a captive audience, you might say, and the only thing I could do was pray. So that's what I did while I was holding my nose. Well, finally, 3 days later, the fish threw me up on the beach. Here I was, body surfing back out of the fish now. Man, I was so glad that there was nobody on that beach, because I never wanted a bar of soap and a good bath so much in my life. And no sooner did I get cleaned up than I heard that familiar voice again. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you, if you insist. What did you say? I said, I'll go. So I went. Now, the assignment was fairly simple. Walk around the streets of Nineveh shouting, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Now, Nineveh was a big place. Nineveh was so big, it took me 3 days to walk through the whole city. I shouted until I was hoarse. Now, these guys were my enemies, so it's not like I was expecting any kind of warm welcome. But this message that I was sent to deliver wasn't going to win me any popularity contests either. Everybody in the city heard the news. Nineveh is going to be punished. It was going to be destroyed. Now, this was the kind of news I had been hoping for since I was a kid. So I should have been happy. But for some reason, I wasn't. In fact, those 3 days felt even longer than the 3 days I spent in the fish. See, the whole time while I was telling those losers that the end was near, I kept having this weird feeling that God might have a surprise for everyone. But things turned out to be even more surprising than I imagined. Because the more I announced their impending doom, the more the Ninevites repented. Yeah, repented. Can you believe it? Even the king put on sackcloth and sat in the dust. He issued a proclamation commanding everybody to call urgently on God. He told them to give up their evil ways and their violence. And he said, who knows, maybe God will relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. And that's exactly what God did. I was furious. As far as I was concerned, them Ninevites were too far gone. They deserved the disaster that was coming to them. But for some reason, God showed mercy. And I just knew that was going to happen. That's why I didn't want to go there in the first place. I wanted to conquer them. But God used me to save them. What a disappointment. There was nothing left for me to do. My life was a failure. My hopes were shattered. I told God it was better for me to die than to live. Well, the Lord interrupted my little pity party, and he says, is it right for you to be angry? Well, of course it is. That probably wasn't the right answer. I stormed out of the town. I was sick of seeing those Ninevites on their knees. I sat down in the hot sun to pout. I started thinking, I wonder what God's going to do with these people now. And as I sat there wallowing in my misery, a mysterious little green plant just sprung up behind me, and the leaves covered me, and they gave me some real nice shade. Well, I deserved a little relief, especially after all I'd been through. Maybe God was finally seeing things from my perspective. Life might be worth living after all. Now, I was pretty exhausted, so I slept like a little baby, just dreaming away under my new shelter. But when I woke up, my dreams turned into a nightmare. A blasted little worm came and ate my plant. And the hot wind was blowing, the sun was beating down. I started to feel dizzy. And just as I was raising my fist to God to cry out, "Why?" he showed up with one of his trick questions. "Do you have the right to be angry about the plant?" I said, "Absolutely." I think I got that one wrong too. But I didn't care. I was hot. I was miserable. I just wanted to die again. He asked me another question. At first, he compared my plant with the people of Nineveh. He said, "My plant just grew and withered in a day, and yet I had grown fond of it. So shouldn't he be concerned about 120,000 confused and foolish people, as well as their sheep and goats?" he asked. Well, frankly, I can understand about caring about the sheep and the goats, but what's the point of putting up with them dumb, hypocritical, evil people? I still think God got it all wrong. But maybe some good can come out of this mess. I noticed Joppa was a pretty nice place. Good weather, thriving port, but no temple yet. Maybe I could take care of that. Maybe I could do a little missionary work over there and spend my days off fishing. Because I know firsthand, they got some whoppers over there. All right. So, just in case there's any confusion, I did take some artistic license with this story. Jonah never signed a commitment card. He never gave a missionary slideshow. And he never ordered any of our missionary committee's subs or apple dumplings. And nobody really knows where Jonah went after his sad Nineveh experience. But if you take all those things out, this is a story that all of us seem to know. You've probably heard it hundreds of times by now. And don't you know that the hero always seems to turn out to be the fish? Because he saves Jonah, puts him up on shore. We always kind of make the fish the hero. See, Jonah was a preacher of a sort. He was a missionary, a believer called by God to deliver his message. And he blew it in a big way. You might say he made a whale of a mistake. Obviously, running away was his first mistake. But even when he did listen to God's instructions and he did follow them, his heart was definitely not in the job. He reminds me of a little kid whose mother tells him he better sit down. "I don't want to sit down." And his mom says, "You better sit down or you know what's going to happen." Now, he keeps standing there for a little while, but he does think about what's going to happen if he disobeys his mother. So he sits. But as he sits down, he glares at his mother and he says defiantly, "Well, I might be sitting on the outside, but I'm still standing on the inside." That's what Jonah was doing. He was in Nineveh on the outside, but he was definitely somewhere else on the inside. You know, to the very end of his chapter, of his book, he never really got it. He was still selfish. He was still grumpy. Jonah was honored by a call from the master, and all he did was pout. What was wrong with this guy? Well, for one thing, Jonah didn't understand God's compassion. He knew that God is compassionate. He even said so himself. In chapter 4, verse 2, he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." It sounds like it would be a privilege, a joy to serve such a merciful God, right? But Jonah goes on in the very next verse, and he says, "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah's theology was right, his understanding of God in his mind, but there was definitely a misunderstanding of God in his heart. I was going to share how Nick came in on Thursday, I think it was, Wednesday or Thursday evening, VBS. We were, the kids were in class, so I was in my room, and Nick came in and was talking to me a little bit, and he looked up on my wall behind the desk, and he saw my diploma, but there's another paper there. He said, "Are those your degrees?" And I said, "Well, the one is, the one's my MDiv, my Master of Divinity." But the other one was given that same night. We all knew we were getting a diploma, but what we didn't know was they had a couple of awards they were giving. And I was blessed to receive the Practical Theology Award. And I was explaining to him that, you know, we can go through the whole four, five, some people it took 9 or 10 years to finally get their MDiv degree, but that's all up here. That Practical Theology, I was happy to and blessed to receive. It indicated that somebody there thought that it went the extra 12 inches and got down here into my heart. And that's what Jonah hasn't done. He knows what God is all about. He knows that God is compassionate, but he's not letting it affect his heart. So he doesn't really understand God's compassion. And so by not understanding it, he didn't share God's compassion. Jonah forgot that the sin of the Ninevites was no worse than any of his own sins. And it's a good thing for Jonah and a good thing for us that God compassionately forgives sinners. For God, the connection's obvious. But being the jerks that we are sometimes, we don't always understand. We can always think of somebody else who we think deserves God's wrath much more than we do. And I want to pause here and once again just revel. I'm amazed, but not amazed. It's just one of those things where God, he just loves to orchestrate a harmony between Sunday school lesson and the worship service. Vicki taught her lesson this morning in Sunday school, and she used the quarterly. I knew she was working on this. The other night, she told me about what she was working on. She used a lesson that had been printed in a book how many months ago, maybe a year ago, whatever. I don't know how much time ahead they take to print these up. And here I am. I'm using a sermon that I also plan several months ahead. And boom, he puts them together with exactly the same type of theme. You know, if I understand correctly, the Sunday school lesson was about judging other people. And she shared a quote that she found on Facebook, and I think it turns out to apply very well this morning to us also. Here's the quote. It says, "You can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out God hates all the same people you do." Let me read that again. "You can safely assume that you've created God in your own image when it turns out that you think God hates all the same people you do." We got to turn that around. We got to remember that we are created in God's image, the God who loves everyone. God told us in Sunday school and again in this worship service that we don't have the right to decide who he is supposed to love. We also don't have the right to not love anyone. Love your neighbor. Love your enemies. If you've experienced the love and the mercy of God, how can you possibly harbor resentment for any other person on this earth? And I know that's easier to say than to do. But it needs to pierce your heart. Even if that person's differences happen to work on your nerves, or they inconvenience you in some way, or maybe they go against what you believe. Without compassion, Jonah couldn't understand his mission. In 2 Peter 3, 9, we read, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." That's the important part, the relevant part to today's sermon. He is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Everyone. Not just the people you like, not just the people you think deserve it. And if everyone is going to repent, then everyone has to hear the message, right? Romans 10, 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone, like you, preaching to them? We have to share the good news. We have to share about Jesus. The Great Commission tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. That phrase is pretty important. It should have been important to Jonah, and it needs to be important to us. I wish I had thought about asking the praise band to sing their first song after the sermon, where you go, I'll go. You know, who you serve, I'll serve. You know, I probably got the words wrong, but the whole idea is following God. Show me your paths, Lord. Teach me your ways. We need to be a lot less like Jonah and a lot more like Jesus. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you reveal in it. We thank you for the way that you make our toes hurt when you step on them. Father, you got to help us. We ask you to soften our hearts, open our hearts, make them bigger. Help us to recognize that we are to show compassion to everyone. If you ask us to go share something with a group, no matter how scary that group is, no matter how much we don't like them, I pray, Lord, that you'll give us the strength and the courage to go ahead and follow you, and not run the other way. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you join me? Stand, if you will, please, and join me in singing our final hymn, number 460.
Thank you.
I just realized that I missed one of the prayer requests, and I just turned 60 this week, so senior moment. I'm sorry, share your name again. What was your name? The glasses? Yeah. What is it? Renee. Yes, I'm sorry. So thank you. So let's just take a moment. I want to pray that she finds her glasses. Heavenly Father, nothing is too trivial for you. We pray that Renee will be able to find her glasses. She needs them. You know how much she relies on them. So I just pray that you'll just make them very obvious to her, and she can find them and can go on with her life then. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, yet song you were saying, you got a lot of work to do. You got to preach, you got to sing to all the nations or talk to all the nations. That's a big job. So as you go from here and you're busy talking to all the nations, may the Lord guide you and protect you and make his face shine upon you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.